Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Maino, very pleased to be sitting with representatives of the Narragansett Bay Symphony Community Orchestra. And we're here to talk about an upcoming concert. And with me are several people, but John Eales is the founding music director. And John, I'm going to let you introduce the other people that are in the studio with us.
Great. Well, it's great to be here. Thanks for having us all. Sitting next to me is Joseph Amante Zapata.
Hello.
And there he is. He is the music director of Coro Amante, and they will be singing two pieces on our program, two pieces by Brahms, which we will hear more about. Also with us in the studio is Krista Wilhelmsen. And she is a soprano, and she is a board member of our orchestra, a board member at large. So we welcome her as well.
A soprano board member.
A soprano board member. Wow. A singing board member, yes.
It happens.
It happens in the orchestra. But we'll be talking to Krista in the second segment. But right now, we'll stick with Joseph and John and talk about the orchestra in general. Let's just bring everybody up to date. Joseph, you were here about 4 or 5 months ago, I guess.
Yes.
And let's tell us what's been happening with you since then.
Coro Amante is still going strong, and we're looking forward to this concert on April 28th. The reason Krista is here, there was a slight change. We're both from CCRI. I'm the performing arts chair, and I have chamber singers. Look at that.
Chorus, chamber singers,
it's all the same. Krista now has chorus. We now have two choir directors at CCRI.
And in the Warwick campus?
Or yes.
Warwick campus.
Yes.
All right. So we got the location in the
Warwick for now, until we spread.
Until you spread worldwide.
Yes.
All right. Yes. John, your background as founding music director, tell us a little bit about that. This happened 2 years ago, 5 years ago?
This happened 2006. I had just moved to the area and was invited to meet with David Wax, who was then the executive director of the Rhode Island Philharmonic. Just a casual talk, which after an hour turned into the founding of this orchestra. It was something the Philharmonic had really wanted to do. They had board members and members of the music school who were not members of the Philharmonic itself, but really wanted to be part of an orchestra. And there were enough of them right away to think about putting something together. I had previously put an orchestra together in Connecticut, so I had experience of being a founding music director.
There you go. What part of Connecticut was that?
It was called the Farmington Valley Symphony Orchestra.
So okay. Probably in Farmington Valley.
We based ourselves out of Farmington, Connecticut. Absolutely. And that orchestra is still going on. I conducted it for 32 years. And then I left Rhode Island, leaving that orchestra and leaving this orchestra, NABSCO, the Narragansett Bay Symphony Community Orchestra. I left for 8 years to California, other coast. And I'm back. So
what would send you to California?
My wife's job, the right thing. You know, I have to follow her.
So, okay.
She moved us to California. We were very happy to move there. I ended up with a wonderful job with the Golden State Youth Orchestra as their music director in Palo Alto, California.
Great spot, yeah.
A wonderful spot, so yeah. Yes.
Well, welcome back. We're glad to have you back.
It's great to be back. Thank you.
All right. And we still consider you – you were born in Rhode Island area?
I was actually born in California.
Born in California.
In the Bay Area.
So, okay. No, never mind. It sounds like too long a story to get back to that.
I'm from San Diego.
And you're from San Diego.
Joseph is from San Diego. Right. John's from the Bay Area.
And why are we out here? This is the question.
Right.
But I grew up in England, so just to throw that one in there.
Well, there you go. Joseph, where did you grow up?
San Diego.
Yes.
San Diego. Okay.
But I met my wife in Boston when I was going to NEC, and I did the right thing, too.
Good.
There you
Good
go.
Job.
So met your wife in Boston, and here we are. I can't wait to get to Krista when we got a microphone for her and find out all about where she's from. But let's talk a little more about this upcoming concert. Tell us about the details about that.
Well, we have a concert that has been planned for a year prior to my coming. And I have to say, I'm conducting this program, two of the pieces of the three pieces in the program, and I have to say I'm thrilled with the program. It's a wonderful program. That's not always the case when you are told what pieces you're going to do. You might think, oh, you know, I wonder why they came up with those pieces. But
normally, you would get to choose.
Would get to choose them.
Right.
In this case, the symphony in the program is Beethoven's Fifth, which of course is one of the great revolutionary blockbuster symphonies, and the first half consists of two choral works by Brahms, and they're exquisite pieces, quite different from the Beethoven, where the energy level is supercharged. The Brahms, Joseph, how would you describe the Brahms, other than sublime? They are just beautiful pieces.
Sublime's a good word, yes. They have a lot of similarities, but the thing I take away from it, one was dedicated to Feuerbach, who had just passed away, a friend of Brahms, and he picked a text that had to do with Greek mythology, and they can be rather dark. But what Brahms does is he ends in a major key, and it's so hopeful, and there's reassurance in it, and we can get into that more later when we talk about the text.
All right. Well, let's this first piece that we're going to listen to is track 5 off of the CD you brought. Tell us that.
Okay, so this first piece is really a thank you to the audience who attended our March 3rd concert, because this is also by Brahms, but it's his Symphony No. 4, which again was performed by the orchestra just a few weeks ago. So we thought this might be a nice way to thank all the people who are listening and who listen to this station, to say, you know, a thank you to you for attending. If you enjoyed the concert, tell all of your friends. Let's spread the word and make sure people know about this wonderful group.
All right, we'll listen to a portion of that. beautiful music provided by NABSCO. And John, tell us about the details for the upcoming concert.
The concert is on Sunday, April 28th. It's at 3 o'clock, and it's at the East Providence High School Auditorium, which I've been to. It's a new building.
Brand new,
it is. Yeah, I think it must be a year or two old.
Yeah.
And has wonderful parking, is easy to get to.
Free parking.
Free parking.
And unless Joseph goes out with a little, you know, hat and tries to charge people as they come
don't
in.
Don't tempt me.
Good idea, right? Okay.
Yes, it is a good idea. I'm writing it down.
We're not
going
to send Joseph out to charge people. And I think it's important to know something that the orchestra now does. I know they've been doing this for a good number of years, which is that they have a pay as what you think is fair policy. So there's no actual ticket price.
Hmm.
And they've found that that really has worked, that people pay what they think is fair and what they feel they can afford. And there have been some gifts of all kinds that have made the continuation of the orchestra possible. So that's wonderful. I also believe that they do bring a food, a non-perishable food item, and that the orchestra then will send those to one of the Rhode Island food pantries. Which again, I think is a wonderful new to me, I should say, aspect of what they do. So
sounds like a great idea.
Yeah.
All right. Why don't we talk about this next piece of music before we take our first break? What will that be? Track one is what my number is.
Well, track one is Beethoven Symphony Number 5, First Movement, and so we're talking we're talking about, yes, some of the most recognizable notes in classical music right away. This revolutionary piece, and I think, I remember saying in a rehearsal when I last did this piece that, you know, once for some people, we've heard these opening notes so many times. This piece was played all the time for many, many, many years. And it was one of the first pieces that many people recorded, many orchestras recorded. And it probably was actually even overplayed. 30 years ago, people probably thought it was overplayed. And then we sort of left it off
Put
our
it
programs
away for a while.
Yeah. And when you can't come back to it, you know, you play those first notes and everyone's like, oh, yeah, we know this. And then suddenly they realize that there's another 30 minutes of music to go. And Beethoven only builds on that opening. And it's an extraordinary symphony. I mean, Beethoven wrote 9 symphonies, and they're all good. They're all actually great. Haydn wrote 104, and some of them... Yes, exactly. There's a whole bunch in like the 40s and 50s that, mm-hmm. you know, they're all kind of a little bit the same. Right. But the Beethoven 9 symphonies are amazing, are fabulous. And the 5th is really... one of those, I think I use the word revolutionary pieces in classical music. I mean, this one, like Stravinsky's Rite of Spring, I would say Beethoven's 5th and Stravinsky's Rite of Spring probably blew the doors off of classical music at the time. And I can't imagine being an audience member sitting at the first concert of the 5th, and we can talk about that first concert later in the program. But everyone was new to this piece. And to be sitting there and to be just knocked over by this energetic, this powerful music that uses an orchestra, at least for the first 3 movements, that's the same size as Haydn's and the same size as Mozart's. But there's just such power in this music and there's just so much that is said there that speaks to us. It's an extraordinary ride.
We'll give it a listen, take a short break, and be back with more.
Thank you.
We are back on Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, very pleased to be sitting with Joseph and Krista now. Wilhelmsen will be joining us, and John has gone to the other part of the studio. He's in the peanut gallery. Can you, a little applause in the background there from the peanut gallery?
Yay.
There we go. All right. So you know that he's still here. But Joseph and Krista will take over at this point, and we're going to talk a little bit about, first off, Krista, the most important thing, where were you born?
I actually was born in the Midwest, so a suburb of Chicago.
Chicago?
Yep.
Well, that's too bad.
Oh! I came out here to teach at CCRI, and apparently I am really a Rhode Islander now. I was out the other day to lunch over by Pilgrim Senior Center in Warwick, and my friend then wanted to go shopping, and she wanted to go Route 2, Bald Hill area. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, that's so far away. And she said, wow, you're really a Rhode Islander.
I thought you were going to say you asked directions, and you said where Benny's
where
used
Benny's
to be.
I haven't been here long enough to know where the Benny's was, really. But.
So schooling in the Chicago area or?
Well, actually, I'm ABD from Indiana University for mm-hmm. my doctorate.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Indiana, all right.
Yeah.
And how long have you been here working at CCRI?
Since 2018.
2018, okay. Well, you're starting to get qualified.
Yeah.
Okay. After the first 50 or 60 years, then you're really, you know.
A true Rhode Islander,
really,
yeah.
Now, soprano, a reason I questioned that at the beginning of the show when John introduced you, it's an orchestra. So what does being a soprano have to do with the orchestra, if anything?
I think that NABSCO really wanted another musical perspective from outside the orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
And I obviously, being a soprano, I do have that. But I have a connection to the orchestra. So I've actually sung as a soloist now twice with NABSCO.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I do have that great connection, but also I'm not there regularly. So I have that outside connection as well.
As a board member.
Yeah.
All right. Joseph, we want to make sure that we get all the information about the concert. So one more time, the date is going to be
April 28th.
April 28th at East Providence High School.
At 3 o'clock.
At 3 o'clock. And all right.
No tickets, just pay as you.
Pay whatever you think is
and
fair.
And you got to get past me with a hat. But
there
yes,
you go.
Yes.
Got to get past Joseph.
Yes.
Joseph, let's talk about this next piece of music, if you will. This is track number 4 that we were going to be playing.
Yes, so this is Schicksalslied, Opus 54, Song of Destiny. It's sometimes referred to as the Little Requiem. It came out, he got to writing almost right after the German Requiem came out. To me, the opening timpani, bum, 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 sounds very much like the second movement of the German Requiem.
You did that very well.
Well, thank you.
I don't even need instruments.
I play viola, though. That's the problem.
Okay.
So that's don't take me seriously. Did you want to talk about some of the history of?
Yeah. So my last name being Wilhelmsen, there's a little tidbit of information. Brahms was visiting friends in Wilhelmshaven. So there's the little connection. He discovered a collection of poems one night, and I guess he became entranced by them. And they had all these outings planned. And the next morning, after reading the poem and just being entranced by it, he went down by the sea. He was further away from all his friends and had already started the sketches for Schicksalslied. And he left, went back to Hamburg in order to finish this work. So, however, actually, he didn't finish it right away. He had some difficulty really deciding on what to do with the ending. But didn't get to finish his fun trip by the sea with friends at Wilhelmshaven. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's listen to a piece of that right now.
Thank you.
impressive music. And Krista, one of the things that always impresses me about a group like the Narragansett Bay Symphony Community Orchestra is the, you know, rehearse, what, once a week maybe during the season, and you come up with such a finished product, and that's true for a lot of groups, and there's a lot of people involved in getting this done. Tell us about rehearsing and what happens with the groups that are involved here.
Sure. I think NABSCO is great because they have so many collaborations. So in addition to collaborating with Coro Amante, the other two choirs that will be performing with Coro Amante are from CCRI, and I've been rehearsing chorus about twice a week, and Joseph has been rehearsing the chamber singers.
Yeah, twice a week.
How many people in the chorus? Dozen or?
About a dozen, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good number.
About 15 in chamber singers.
In the chamber singers, okay. All right, so that'll all be packaged into this concert, right?
Right.
Yes.
Right. I got to mention Coro Amante, which I started off as an alumni choir out of CCRI, but it's open to the community. If folks are interested in more of this, singing with an orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
We're not really a cappella. We love to sing with the instruments.
That's too bad.
I got to tell you something, though. Last December, we did a concert where Krista was the star soprano. We did Messiah with Les Brown's mandolin ensemble.
Hmm.
We did Messiah Part 1 with mandolins. It was fun. It was something totally different.
Yeah.
I'm sure they wouldn't like to hear this, but my downbeat felt like I was playing a big harp, right? And then Krista did a great job with Rejoice Greatly in spite of that.
There you go. There you go.
Some of the things we do.
All right. Tell us about this next piece before we take our next break.
Well, this next one is Ninia, Song of Lamentation. It was written a little while after Schicksalslied and after the German Requiem. Both Schicksalslied and Ninia are in ABA form, but probably the biggest difference is that Ninia does end with a chorus, whereas in Schicksalslied, it's kind of ripped away and you're left with your thoughts with the orchestra. Did you want to say something about
Just to expand on something you said earlier about how in Ninia, it ends with a really hopeful view. I think the music portrays that, the words portray that. So it's just it's really nice. It's just uplifting.
It's you know, Brahms is melancholy. He even says it himself. But he's not really depressed. He's very hopeful. The second to last line in Ninia goes, "To be even a song of lamentation in the mouth of the beloved is splendid." And he repeats that over and over, and I thought, wow, I'm going to use that line somewhere.
Kind of powerful.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. All right, we'll give that a listen, then we'll take a short break, and we'll be back with more of the Joseph and Krista Show.
Thank you.
Krista and Joseph show is now turned into the Krista and John show. And Joseph is out in the parking lot looking for people to collect money from. I'm Mike Mano and very pleased to be sitting with Krista and John at this point in time talking about NABSCO, the Narragansett Bay Symphony Community Orchestra. And John, as founding director, I want to just stress to our audience, as I've done in the past, you have a very important word in the title of your group, community.
Absolutely, and I'm glad you brought that up because we certainly always want to talk about that. It was actually a word that might have been dropped when we changed our name from our original name to NABSCO, and I think the board very wisely decided that it should be kept because community is a huge part of what we do. We are a community as an orchestra, but we also love to give back to the community, and we love to bring the community in to be a part of our programs. I mean, the program that we've been talking about has this wonderful, these in fact two choruses that are joining us. And collaborations with other organizations is something that we are always looking to do as we plan our programs for the year. So we actually have an idea, I think, that is possibly going ahead in discussion that Krista maybe...
We might have a scoop here.
We might have a scoop.
All right. So listen, wait. Breaking news.
So
Krista,
it's a possibility, and I'm going to hand that over to Krista.
All right.
Okay. So I guess a year or two ago, I founded a little opera company in Rhode Island called Coffee Milk Opera, and we are looking at a future collaboration with NABSCO, talking about a possibility of doing like a night at the opera concert, or perhaps if our concert is during the day, a day at the opera. Last year, we received a RISCA grant to perform an abridged version of La Boheme, which we then did at Temple to Music in Roger Williams Park, and it was a success, and we actually were invited.
Outside.
Yes, outside.
Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of people might not realize when you say at the temple, temple is an outdoor venue.
Yes, it was free and open to the public. And the Temple to Music is its outdoor venue, and it has natural, great acoustics, hence the name, Temple to Music. Mm-hmm. So we sang next to and behind the pillars, and everyone in the audience that we talked to said they could hear us really well, and it was... And it was
it.
Yeah, you were.
It carried.
Joseph was there.
Was
yeah.
There.
Joseph
yeah.
is talking in the background. He doesn't have a microphone, but he was saying he was there. So I'll translate for him.
he could hear everyone. So that performance was such a success. Actually, we were invited over to Deerfield Park, and they had just built a new outdoor amphitheater. So once again, an outdoor performance of the abridged La Boheme in Italian, and it was great. It was a really exciting. You know, first opportunity for us. So, and now we're hoping to branch out and work with other groups and collaborate.
Now, that has nothing particularly to do with CCRI, right? This is independent of that.
It is independent of that, other than the fact that I teach and work at CCRI.
Right.
And we did some rehearsals at CCRI, so they loaned us some rehearsal space.
Okay.
So we have a small affiliation with them
there
as well.
Yeah. And the opera company is, do you have like 10 people that are, or five?
I guess,
it changes, you just invite people?
Oh, we invite different people to the cast. I would say that there's a founding group. Kate Nurigian is another singer. Angelica Alvarez, another singer. And then our collaborative pianist, John Nurigian.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. And so maybe something coming together with that group and NABSCO.
Yes.
I've just learned a lot about that, and I'm very excited. I think that's terrific.
All right. Well, we have one more piece of music. I just want to clarify the date and time for the concert at the end of the month is going to be where?
The concert is going to be at the East Providence High School Auditorium. And it is on Sunday, the 28th of April, and it's a 3:00 concert, afternoon concert.
All right. Just 2 weeks from now, so you can go online and check out the various events and times and other things you might want to know about NABSCO, and that's pretty easy because it's nabsco.org, I believe.
Correct, yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
All right,
yep.
So people can go online and check that out. We have one piece of music left to go out with, and I want to thank both Joseph and Krista and John for being here today, bringing your thoughts and music to our audience, and we hope that everything goes well on the 28th. I'm sure it will. And Krista, we'll have to get you back and find out more about the Coffee Milk Opera Company. That sounds very intriguing.
Yeah.
So well, maybe if you're willing,
definitely,
we'll get you back in here before you become rich and famous and you know, won't pay any attention to us anymore.
That sounds good. Yeah.
Okay. John, what's this last piece we're going to go out with?
So we're sticking with Beethoven, the Fifth Symphony. We heard a little bit of the opening earlier in the show. And the Beethoven is one of those first tragedy to triumph pieces, which meaning that it starts in C minor with that fate motive, and it ends in this blazing C major sort of march, finale, final movement. It was an idea that Brahms continued with 50 years later when he wrote his first symphony, same key, C minor to C major. Tchaikovsky's Fifth Symphony is another E minor to E major, and Mahler also did the same. He did Tragedy to Triumph symphonies. The Fifth Symphony would be the best example of that, I think, which starts in C sharp minor and ends in D major. Glorious ending. Same here with the Beethoven. It's a very exciting, very powerful, very uplifting finale to this symphony, and it'll be the finale to our concert as well. So
excellent. All right, we'll listen to a portion of that. And thanks once again to all of you for being here, and to those of you listening. We'll see you next week on Conducting Conversations.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.